Yeah. The teachers were more like parents away from home. They really did care about us. They made sure we did the right thing. But I mean, they were like your parents.
Can you remember any specific things that happened that make you feel that way about them?
I can remember, other than the teacher giving me the clothes, the two teachers that gave me clothes, I can remember my senior year, we would have like a senior day on Saturday, and we would visit A&T. And this teacher had a coat, and I used to tell her how pretty her coat was. She let me wear her coat to senior day in Greensboro.
She just knew you admired it.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, and I'm sure there were other things that happened, and I just can't think of them right now. I'll probably think of them when we finish this. But, you know, they were just like that. I can remember my sister went to the debutante ball, and a teacher, one of the teachers had a sister that had a gown, and she let her wear her sister's gown to the debutante ball.
Did the teachers encourage you to go on to get further education?
Mm-hmm.
Were there signs up around, or was there a bulletin board where you had the achievements of other students hanging up?
Like former students?
Mm-hmm. Former students, no.
Mm-hmm. But that trip to Greensboro was to let us see what campus life was like, and to encourage you to further your education.
And how many of your class went on that trip to A&T?
The majority of the class went. We went on a bus. We met at the center on that Saturday morning about 7:30, 8 o'clock, and went to Greensboro, stayed all day, came back in the afternoon. And the majority of the class did go.
And that was arranged by?
The senior class advisors.
Did you go to A&T?
No, I didn't go to college. I took my training at the School of Pharmacy. In the basement, it was a 20-week course. 10 weeks of classroom work and 10 weeks of on-the-job training, and I worked as an operating room technician.
How long did you do that?
For 21 years, and then I worked over in Sisto for 10 years, made it 31 years. And I left in 97.
You retired.
I retired.
You say that in a sort of funny way.
What?
When you said you left in 97, mm-hmm. Did you leave feeling good, or did you leave?
Oh, I left feeling good. When I worked in the operating room, we worked hard. We worked long hours. We had to take call, and sometimes when at the end of your shift, you couldn't go home because you were on call. You had to stay there and finish that case or wait until another case had finished before you could go home. Then you may get home and have to turn right around and come back to do another case. It all depended on what was going on, how busy they were, whether or not you had to come back.
Long hours.
So after 20 years of that, I was ready for a change. And in Sisto, what they called a busy day was a light day in the operating room. And you couldn't appreciate it until you had worked in the operating room and saw just what busy was like. But back then, working in the operating room was like a big family. You knew who had gone to church on Sunday. You knew what their children were doing. That type thing. And now, when you go down to the operating room, I don't know anybody down there, hardly. I know some of the attendants.
Are there any other things about the school that I haven't asked you that you'd like to share? Any memories that you have that I haven't asked you about?
Not that I can think of. The glory days.
Is that what you called them, the glory days?
But that's what you told me earlier.
I thought maybe I captured something that other people were calling the same thing. Were they glory days?
Now that I look back on them, yes, they were. I mean, but it wasn't glory that when I had to go set up chairs in the gym and be punished and stuff. I mean, but, you know, now I can appreciate those days. But if I had to do it over, or if my child had to set up chairs in the gym, I'd tell him to come home, too.
I want to go back to your growing up and ask you some things that aren't so nice about communities, like alcoholism. Much alcohol abuse in Pottersfield?
Not then, no. Not like it is now. My daddy used to bootleg liquor, and people would see him and they would think he was drunk because he talked loud and he was always happy and laughing. And but if he could help somebody, he would help you. but not like now. And then he eventually started drinking, and after he retired, he would be uptown and he would ride the bus home and he'd be drunk. And he drank a lot. And I have a brother that's an alcoholic, but he went to Charlotte and he got some help and he's fine now. I mean, he has 2 children and a grandchild, and he's doing great now, and I can see a difference in him, because when he was drinking, he couldn't talk. That's Clyde, and he loves sweets. There's something about alcoholics, they all love sweets.
Did your dad run a bootleg house?
Our house?
Your house was a bootleg house.
He sold liquor.
The police ever raid you?
Oh, once, I can remember. But it was like early in the morning before we got up. So I don't remember them being there. But I heard my mom say that they had come there. But, and then after we got bigger, he stopped that. I mean, he used to, cut hair on the front porch. And, we'd wake up on Saturday mornings and people would be coming to get their hair cut. And Saturday morning, Sunday morning, same thing. Both mornings, the people would be coming in to get, and he charged 25 cents to cut your hair.
That's not even a tip these days.
Mm-mm.
The liquor that he sold, was it bonded or was it
white liquor?
White liquor.
And, you know, like I said, after we started to get bigger, then he stopped at doing that. But when I was maybe up to 10 years old, he did it.
Did you see other people abuse alcohol in the community much? Or you already said that you see it more now than you did.
Yeah, but, you know that people drank, and people used to, and you don't see this now either, but in the neighborhood, people would fight, and you could hear the voices, and people would stand out and listen, and, you know, hear the argument going on, and, you know, then you hear them fighting, and, you know, don't do that, I'm going to call the cops, you know. But now you don't see that.
So you think there's less arguing now, or the people keep the doors closed?
Right. they either do that or they write notes on it.
Can't write fast enough. Did you have friends who had single mothers? Single parent families, I guess is the way I should say it, where the father had left, mm-hmm. or they were unmarried.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I know some people that weren't married, but they lived together. Mm-hmm. But they didn't have children my age. We didn't know about that then.
Looking back on your childhood, did you feel as though it was a happy childhood?
Mm-hmm. We didn't have everything, but we knew that our mama and our daddy loved us. We knew that.
Well, maybe that's a good place to end on a nice positive note like that. But I'd like to ask one more question, and that is, I've asked you a whole bunch of questions. Are there any other things that you'd like to say I haven't asked you? I was almost going to say, would you like to ask me a question?
Not that I can think of right now, but maybe when you come back,
all right.
I'm going to try to get those pictures for you and that book.
All right, that would be great. Which book is that?
My senior memories book, so you can see my invitation. I saved one of my invitation. I got to find it. They passed out sheets of paper with the merit system on it and how many demerits you would get for, say, cursing, 20 demerits, chewing gum, 20 demerits, leaving school, maybe 10 demerits, and when you got a total of 20 demerits, you were suspended automatically. Bloop, gone.
And did they hang up the demerit totals for people?
Oh, no. They kept that in the office.
I see. But you knew that something wrong, you were going to get a certain number of demerits.
Right. If you were chewing gum, 20 demerits.
And you were out of school?
Yes. And I can't remember how many days it was, but you were gone. You were gone. For cursing, for cutting class. And that way you didn't have to beat the child. You didn't have to threaten them. I mean, that was a threat, but only if you did it. Only if you chewed chewing gum in school.
Did you see many kids?
No.
Chew or get thrown out?
No.
So you didn't curse?
Not at school.
Chew gum?
Not at school.
You didn't cut class?
No way. Mm-mm. No.
How many of the students who entered high school with you, Lincoln, seventh grade, say, and stayed in the community, how many of those would you say graduated?
Like I say, we had 3 seventh grade classes. And it was about 30 students in each class, 30 to 35 students in each class. And when we graduated, it was like 49 students, I think.
So you lost maybe 40 to 50% of the students along the way. And did they drop out, or did they leave the area?
Now, some did leave, but not a majority of them left the area. And a lot of them finished, we started having our class meetings about 3 years ago, and we tried to sit down and think of every student that was in our class and try to find an address for them to tell them about this. And some of the students, I found out, because I was wondering why they didn't come to the meeting.
And I found out,
And I found out that a lot of them were seniors, but they didn't graduate. And I didn't know that. And I've talked to some of the other people in the class, and they didn't realize they didn't graduate with us. But they had to come back or go to another school and take English or whatever class it was that they didn't pass. So they could graduate. And then a lot of them just dropped out. They knew they weren't going to graduate, so they didn't come back. And a lot of the girls got pregnant. And back then, it was pregnancy, whereas today, it's drugs. That the children get on drugs and they don't graduate, or they drop out because of the drugs. But back then, it was the fear of pregnancy that haunted most females.
Of the students in your class who graduated, how many of them would you say went on to college?
And finished, or just went to college?
Just went on to college.
I would say maybe 20.
20 out of 50, mm-hmm. 20 out of 49.
Mm-hmm.
In the class of 62.
Right. And those that, yeah, I would say it was about 20.
And how many like you went on and got some other kind of education after high school?
Maybe 10.
So over half of your class, you would guess, went on and got more education.
Mm-hmm. And then we had some people that were cooks, some firemen, and I'm sure they had to have some kind of training, but not school training. I know a couple of people work at the fraternity houses. One girl is a companion for an elderly lady. One girl retired from being custodian at Gabby Phillips School with, I think she had 30 years of service. And one girl is, she's retired, but she worked at the hospital in one of the labs. But quite a few went to college.
Coming from a mostly poor neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
with a lot of parents.
Northside, Cars Court development, where the quilting was done.
A lot of parents didn't have a whole lot of education.
Now I was in the class with Mr. McDougall's daughter, so she's the exception to the rule.
Does she live here?
She lives in Pennsylvania, New York, and the son lives in Maryland.
Were you in James Atwater's class?
Which one?
The one who worked for the government.
In Charlotte?
He's in Washington now.
James? Oh, no. No, ain't that old.
Well, I didn't know how old he was. I don't mean to insult you. I won't ask you how much you weigh.
I'll put you out.
I think I am out after that. Hey, thank you again. I really appreciate it.
All right.